I saved one announcement to make myself, and then a few others have come up, so let me make them as well. Just a few weeks ago now, we announced that Landon is getting married, and he's going to be moving to Lubbock. And I expressed at that time that I was happy for him, but selfishly, I was certainly going to miss him. And then last week, we announced that Chance is going to be moving to Dalhart. And I stated at that time, I'm really happy for him, but selfishly, I'm going to miss him. And unfortunately, today, I need to announce that Alan and Marilyn Husak are going to be moving to Victoria. And I'm happy for him, but selfishly, I'm going to miss him. He says such beautiful, beautiful prayers and makes such good comments in Bible class that I am certainly going to miss him. I wish Marilyn's health would have allowed her to be at services much more than she was. But he does assure us that Victoria is not that far away, and he will come and visit us from time to time, and I'm going to hold him to that. We have a number of visitors with us today, and we're delighted about that because we also have quite a few of our members who are out of town. And one family of visitors, I tried to emphasize, we're having our fellowship luncheon today. And I want them to know, and I want any of our visitors to know, how sincere this congregation is. I think you've already seen it in our worship. And I think if you come and join us in our fellowship, you'll see it in our fellowship also. So whether you were planning on staying for lunch or not, whether you brought something or not, whether you're visiting or whether you're a member here, we have more than enough food prepared for everyone. I would say I'll stand at the back of the line, but it's not going to be necessary. But we will have ample food for everyone. So please join us, if at all possible, for that fellowship immediately after our service today. However, the men's business team needs to have a very, very short meeting after the service this morning right here in the front. I'll assure you, we won't be the last in line. We'll be over there very, very soon after our meeting is over. So the men's business team will meet for just a moment. I also visited with Christina a moment ago, and she failed to get the announcement made that the young man, where she is the principal, that we have been praying for concerning his cancer. They have now given him just a period of time, a designated period of time left on this earth. And normally they're very accurate in that. For those of us who have lost children, our hearts go out to those parents. We will pray and continue to pray. And even after his passing, we will pray for those parents and for that family. We've prayed for the young man. God's will is being done. But we certainly want to continue praying for him. Jesus was teaching a group of people. And he said, if you will listen to my teaching and apply it to your life, you'll be just like a wise man that built his house on a rock. And though the rains are going to come down and the floods are going to come up, and more rains are going to come down and more floods are going to come up. And though the wind is going to blow and beat upon that house, it's going to stand because it's grounded on a rock. But Jesus continued, if you do not apply my teaching to your life, you're just like a man who built his house on the sand. And the same rains are going to come down and the same floods are going to go up. And even more rains are going to come down and more floods are going to come up. And the wind is going to blow and beat upon that house and it's going to fall and great will be the fall thereof. And then we notice that the penman says, and his audience was amazed at his teaching. Because Jesus was teaching as one who had authority, the authority of Almighty God, not like one of their scribes or the teachers of the Old Testament. Now, brethren, we realize that's the very ending of what we call the Sermon on the Mount.
And I think it is among our favorite for a host of reasons. I know it's among my favorites because I can find so many good sermon points to make from that parable. I know you who are teachers is probably among your favorite because you can find so much teaching application. And if you're a VBS song leader, it's a good parable also because it gets the children ready to learn about God. But brothers and sisters, there's a serious side to this parable as well. Now this parable will stand alone. By that I mean you can just study this parable and you will find the full teaching experience of Jesus Christ. However, it seems that Jesus here is drawing a conclusion that goes all the way back to Matthew chapter 5. He seems to be concluding all the way back to the beginning of what we call the parable, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the teaching that he's talking about goes back to the Beatitudes, goes back to dealing with enemies, goes back to all of that. Jesus is saying to his audience, you need to apply all of that teaching to your life. Then you will qualify to be a wise individual. And if you do not, if you heard all of this teaching and fail to apply it, you're foolish. Now, there are also some commentators that believe that Jesus is saying this as a conclusion of what he has just mentioned just prior to this teaching, where Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Jesus also said, many will say in that day, Jesus, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do many wonderful works in your name? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, ye evildoers. Now, why would Jesus say depart to a group of individuals that were prophesying, casting out demons, and doing other marvelous works in his name? Why would Jesus do that? Rather, it's because they weren't doing what they said they were doing. I read one commentator that said they might have been exaggerating. No, they were lying. Jesus said, you're lying. I have nothing to do with you because you have nothing to do with me. You can say it all day long. I'm doing these wonderful works for Jesus. But if you're not, then you're not. Brethren, it's impossible to miss that sermon point right there. Let's give a modern day example. Let's say bright and early tomorrow morning, a guy comes by and you see that he has a tree trimming business. And he comes and knocks on your door and he said, I was driving by and I noticed that your trees need trimming. He said, I normally charge $1,000. But for you, I'll do it for $250. You don't have quite as many trees. I'll carry all the excess away. I'll do it for $250. Well, let's just say that you had priced some tree trimming and $250 was a very, very good price. So you say, okay, if you'll trim my trees, carry all the excess away, I'll pay you that $250. So he said, I'll see you bright and early in the morning. Well, bright and early the next morning, didn't show up. Well, maybe you think he was sick or something like that. You don't really worry about it. But the next morning, he doesn't show up. And now you're beginning to wonder what's going on. And the next morning, he shows up and he says, I'm ready to receive my $250. And you say, but wait a minute, you didn't trim the trees like you said you would. He said, yes, but I said that I would. And now I'm here to collect my $250. Brethren, trust me, I speak for all of us. He's not going to get his money. He didn't do what he said he was going to do. And that's what these people that Jesus is talking about were doing as well. They were not doing what they said they were going to be doing. Spoken religion only. Remember that phrase. Spoken religion only is unacceptable to Jesus Christ. They were talking about it. They even lied saying they were doing it. But spoken religion only is unacceptable to Jesus. Now let's look at this very familiar parable. Brethren, do you realize that all of us are house builders? I say that because the truth of the matter is Jesus is not talking about a physical structure. He's talking about this house. He's talking about our lives. Both a foolish man and a wise man both built their life. The wise man, because of his wisdom, built on a good foundation. The foolish man, because of his foolishness, built on a bad foundation. The wise man, because he cared about God's word, built an everlasting house. The foolish man, because he ignored God's word, labored in vain. The wise man's life was worthwhile. The foolish man's life was useless. Again, the application is unmistakable. Now, brethren and friends, I'm pointing at everybody, okay? You and I are building a house. It's called our life. Maybe we started building 5 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. You and I are building a house. We're doing it either in a wise fashion or we're doing it in a foolish fashion. But we have to build it based on the foundation that Jesus gave. Because if we build on any other foundation, automatically, we're not wise men. Automatically, our life is going to crumble and fall. Now, to really appreciate this parable, I think what we need to do is take just a moment to talk about the terrain of ancient Palestine or first century Palestine where Jesus lived. I turned to Wikipedia. I hope everyone is familiar with that. Wikipedia said that the terrain of Palestine in the first century is the same as it is today, hills and valleys. And late in the winter, early in the spring, the rains build up in the mountains, and these gentle streams that are down in Palestine turn into torrent rivers, and it washes everything away. And it leaves in those low spots the sand that it's picked up along the way. Now the foolish man will say, well, it's easier to work on this sand. If I need to dig, it's easier. If I need to hammer, it's easier. It's just easier to build on this sandy deposit. But brethren, the wise man realizes the next time it rains, it's going to wash us away as well. So the wise man's going to go up to the higher ground. I think that's a good point also. The wise man's going to get up on the higher ground where he can reach that solid foundation. Now, brethren, as I said a moment ago, we're building a house right now. Every one of us is building our life right now. We're either doing it in a wise fashion or in a foolish fashion, but we're building it right now. And the foundation upon which we build will determine our eternal destiny. Where we build our life will determine where we spend our eternity. The sure foundation of the Lord is steadfast. All other foundations will crumble. Listen to what Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 19. In this way they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation. 2 Timothy 2, 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows who are His. It's like John 10, doesn't it? The good shepherd knows his sheep and he calls them. If we're built on that firm foundation, the Lord knows who are His. Now let's take just a few moments to look at these two builders. One was wise and one was foolish. The wise man built on the rock. The wise man built on the firm foundation. But notice what Jesus says it takes to be a wise man. He that hears these sayings of mine and does them. Hear that he that hears my teaching and applies my teaching to his life. Brethren, to build on a strong foundation, our life must be built on the instructions given in the blueprint. I know you're jumping ahead of me. It has to be built on the foundation as described in the blueprint. An engineer will tell us how strong we have to build that foundation so that our house stands and it will not crumble. And that blueprint is the teaching of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, the word that I have spoken, that's his teaching. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge us in the last day. For a Christian to build on a firm foundation, we must read and study to the point of understanding God's design through the blueprint. And Jesus says there are two things that are necessary. First of all, we have to hear. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, the New King James says, do your best to present yourself. I still like the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. No one can know how to build on the right foundation unless we've studied the blueprint. And listen closely to this. We automatically will build a weak foundation if we don't know how to build a strong one. He says we need to hear, we need to do. Again, those two passages I alluded to a moment ago. Jesus said, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that will be the wise man. Not everyone that says to Jesus, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. You know, faithful men and women of God of every dispensation have been singled out by one thing, and that is obedience. Abel would be a wonderful example of the patriarchal dispensation. Abel was obedient. Genesis chapter 4. King Joash would be a wonderful, Josiah would be a good example of faithfulness under the Mosaical dispensation. 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 22. Paul would be a good example under the Christian dispensation. 2 Timothy 4. He said, I fought the fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he went on to say, not for him only, but all those that love Jesus' appearing. I always say this when I use that verse. Brethren, when Jesus comes again, not everybody is going to be glad to see him. Those who have blatantly rejected him will not be glad to see him. Those who have tried to serve him casually will not be glad to see him. But those who have built on the firm foundation will. Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness because I'm longing for and I will love to see the Lord coming again. And brethren, we need to live our life so to that statement we can say amen. Obedience has always been a distinguishing factor in the life of a faithful child of God. Now you're listening very closely. Listen even more closely. Stay with me in this time. The wise man built his house on a rock. The rock upon which godly people have always built their lives is deity. However, deity in the Old Testament, the rock of the Old Testament was Jehovah God, the Father. Deuteronomy 32 verse 4, Moses is writing about God, Jehovah. He says, Jehovah is the rock, his work is perfect. All of his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. He is just and righteousness and righteous. However, in Isaiah 28, that great messianic prophet, we seem to begin the seeing of a transition between Jehovah as our rock and Jesus as our rock. God is speaking through Isaiah's pen. Therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and he that believeth will not make haste. He will not run away from it. Instead, he will run to it. So in the New Testament, we see that Jesus is that rock. He is that foundation. In Matthew 16, beginning with verse 13, but I'm going toward the end of that context. Peter has just acknowledged that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus says, upon that acknowledgement, upon that fact that I am the Son of God, upon that fact, upon that rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. 2 Timothy 2:19, if you're taking notes, Ephesians 2:20 also. Christ must be our foundation. Any other foundation cannot, will not stand. Now, as we begin our conclusion, let's look at the foolish builder. Brethren, there are a lot of similarities between these builders. Both of them heard the same truth. Both of them must have had equal ability to understand and to comprehend. The foolishness came in not because the foolish builder did not understand or did not hear, but because he ignored the teaching. That's the difference between wisdom and foolishness. Wisdom implores us to believe the teaching. We walk by faith and not by sight. Foolishness implores us to ignore, to become cold, apathetic, or at least lukewarm, like the church in Laodicea. Jesus said because of their lukewarmness, he would spew them out of his mouth. Cold, cool, apathetic. You remember in the parable of the soils in Luke chapter 8, Jesus is giving the explanation. The seed that fell by the wayside hesitated its growth process. And in that time, the birds came and snatched the seed up. And then in explanation, he says, it's not really birds, it's the devil. Because of that time of hesitation, the devil came and snatched the truth out of that person's heart. Otherwise, they would believe it, and then they would be saved. Brethren, the devil wants to take the truth right out of our hearts. Therefore, we've got to fill our heart with truth and not give the devil an opportunity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says that we must treasure the truth and use it, otherwise we will lose it. In James chapter 1, the foolish man wants to take it easy. And that's what the foolish builder wanted to do. Build on the sand is so much easier. The rock is hard to work with. The sand is so much easier. And there are just a lot of people that are just not willing to put in the effort to build on the foundation rock. They're just not willing to make that sacrifice and to work that hard. They want a religion that's casual, that's easy. It doesn't give us a bad conscience. One that just soothes our emotions, or as Paul says to Timothy, to scratch our itching ears. And that time is past, and we're in it now, because we see many have turned their ears away from the truth and are turned to fables. And so now the only question I'll ask, I hope you realize you're building a foundation. You're building on a foundation. I hope you realize your life is being built right now. Are you building it in a wise manner or in a foolish manner? The foundation that will last, the foundation upon which we must build, is Jesus Christ. From God's own lips, Jesus, the chief cornerstone. So my second question is a parallel question. Are you ready today to begin to build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ? We can find from Jesus' own lips and amplified by several apostles where Jesus says we need to hear the truth. And if the truth touches us to the point that we believe it, we need to acknowledge that before men. We need to confess our sins and turn away from them. And we need to start over. I love to use John chapter 3 in my invitation, where Nicodemus comes by night to Jesus. He's interested in salvation. Jesus said, you must be born again. And I bring it up to today's vocabulary. Nicodemus says, I'm a grown man. How can I enter into my mother's tummy and be born again? Jesus wasn't talking about physical. Jesus really never talked about physical. He was talking about spiritual. We must be spiritually born again of the water and of the Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit, the baptism of water for the remission of sins, Acts 2, verse 38. And then we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and forgiveness. Peter, who preached there in Acts chapter 2, also preached in Acts chapter 10 from the Jews in Acts 2 to the Gentiles in Acts 10. And in Acts 10, when he said, saw Cornelius and his household manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, that was for Christians only. But he saw these Gentiles manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. He said, who can forbid water that these be saved as we? And a verse that I think we, even in the churches of Christ, fail to use enough, verse 42, he commanded them to be baptized. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command, because Jesus commanded them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now please, if you're visiting with us and you're not that familiar with the churches of Christ, don't go and tell your friends, well, the Church of Christ believes in baptism. Yes, we do. But we believe in baptism because it's taught plainly in the New Testament. Jesus said we need to be baptized. Peter said we need to be baptized. Paul said we need to be baptized. Every New Testament penman that mentions baptism says we need to be baptized. Who are we trying to please, men or God? Well, we're going to please God. And on that faithful day of judgment, we will hear Jesus say, enter thou into the joys prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because you did what you said you were going to do. And I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to save you because of your faith, your faithful obedience, your love, your compassion, and everything else it takes to be a Christian. So I ask you today, are you ready to begin to build your life on that faithful cornerstone? If you are, then you're subject to the Lord's invitation. If for another reason you need to respond, please do so as we stand and as we sing.